Take your Bible this morning to Psalm 126. Psalm 126. And I want to kind of preach from this passage this morning. Psalm 126. The Bible says, "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them." The Lord hath done great things for us, the Bible says, "whereof we are glad." Well, you look at this passage this morning, and the Bible talks about the captivity here, and they were just dreaming about those good times, amen, and dreaming about being serving the Lord with freedom. And they got to thinking about that, and when they got to thinking about the goodness of God and the great things He's done for them, the Bible says their mouth was filled with laughter. And wouldn't it be good this week if folks would... Now, I'm not talking about that holy bubbling belly stuff, amen. I'm talking about just rejoicing in the Lord and laughing and just being happy in what God has done for us. The Bible said our tongue was filled with singing, amen. Yeah, well, boy, it'd be good if we just sang to the top of our lungs and just rejoiced in the Lord and what He's done for us. And I like it when we all get in here as a group and begin to sing them old congregational songs, amen. I'm not all that crazy about praise and worship, amen. I believe old praise and worship is just singing on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, and there's a fountain filled with blood. That'll get you going, amen. That's good praise, and that's good worship music right there, amen. The Bible said they did it among the heathen, amen. That's what we're here for. To be encouraged, to be uplifted, and to be brought to light of what God's done for us, that we might go out there and sing and shout the victory in front of those that are lost, amen. And be happy in front of those that are without God and without hope, amen. And we're going to preach on that thought this morning, just God doing great things for us, amen. And I want to pray. Father, thank You this morning, Lord, for what You've done for us and how You've already thrilled our heart. And Lord, just caused us to be glad today that we're saved. And Lord, just to know what You've done for us, how it's broken our heart once again. Lord, to see what You've done for us and made us glad in our spirit. God, we think about what You've done with our sin. And Lord, with the price that You paid and the sacrifice that was made, God, oh, what a blessing it was to be reminded of that grace and how that it wasn't anything that we've done, Lord. It's just been God doing it through God and doing it all for us. And it's just by the grace of God today that we're saved. And, oh, what a blessing it is to know that and be reminded of that today. Lord, I pray now that You'd help me, God. I need You to help me. It's already been said this morning how true it is. And there's not a preacher here today that can get up in his own power and his own ability and Lord, try to be a blessing without the touch of God upon our life. And I pray, Lord, that every preacher that stands here from here on out, Lord, would have that special power, that special anointing, that special touch of God. Lord, as we humble ourselves before You, I pray that You'll just do something through us once again. And Lord, I pray You'd bless the people and God bless our time together this morning. And I pray, God, that we'll be able to leave and get ready for this evening and our hearts would be filled with laughter and our tongue be filled with praising and singing. And when we gather again together, Lord, it'd be a time of just worshiping the Lord and thanking God for what He's done. Lord, help us now. Give us what we need this morning. Touch the Word of God, Lord, today to the hearts of the people. And help me, Lord, be a blessing. We'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. I want to preach on this thought this morning about, every now and then they'll have some kind of a sale or some kind of an artist or something other will had been making maybe music or maybe an author had written a number of books, or maybe a performer had performed a great many of performances, and then they'll come back after so long a time, and they'll put all the best of the best of the best in one volume, you know. And they'll offer that thing, and they'll say, now, you've heard this artist, and you've heard this singing group, or you've heard this man play the piano, or you've heard this author in his books, but here in one volume, here in one particular setting or CD is everything good that this person has ever done. I mean, the best. We've gleaned through it and got the best music and the best words and the best songs and the best stories or whatever it might have been. They're often, you've seen them in Walmart and things like that. You can go and buy the best of the best, volume one. Then they run out of money and they put out another best of the best, volume two. Then they need more money and they'll put out a third volume, the best of the best of the best of the best. Amen. And on and on and on it goes. Well, I want to preach to you this morning on the best of the best of the best that God has. Amen. Now you'd think as you go through the Bible that you couldn't exhaust, as it's already been brought out to us. Where do you stop? Where do you start when you begin to describe God at His very best? Where would you begin to launch out into some kind of subjectivity and begin to put your finger on God's very best? Or when God was doing what He did, and when He did what He did, when He got done doing what He did, it was His very best when He finished. Amen. How would you ever figure that out? I don't know how you do all that, but I got to thinking about God and His very, very best. I thought, well, maybe you could see God at His very best in creation, amen. I tell you, this whole world, the Bible said, that in the beginning, God created, amen. We didn't swing from some monkey tail somewhere, amen, like Charlie Darwin talks about. We were created. God created. In the beginning, God created, amen. That's all that needs to be said. It don't need to be described. It don't need to be analyzed and exegeted and all that kind of stuff. The Bible just doesn't have anything to say, but in the beginning, God created. Amen. Well, I tell you, I've had the privilege of traveling around, you know, just a few places, and we were coming this morning, you know, back this back way over here, back from the motel, and we was coming down them old windy roads here in Alabama, and man, it's beautiful country here, amen. The trees are beautiful. We had a chance to look around and see the sights a little bit. It's a beautiful place, amen. I've had the privilege to go to the Rocky Mountains. Not long ago, they took me out there on top of them mountains, and I stood up there, man, far as you could see, from way down yonder to way over yonder. It's just magnificent what God's created. They took me some time ago over here to the other mountains over in this part of the country called the Smoky Mountains, amen. We went up in there on a hot summer day. Back at home, it was 110 degrees. We got the telephone call, 110 degrees and sultry, humid, Durant, Oklahoma, amen. But when we got up there in them Smoky Mountains, we drove way on up there, and it was 55 degrees. Up there in that mountaintop, amen. Man, it was gorgeous. It was beautiful. Back in 1998, we had the privilege of going over there to the Holy Land. And we stood up there on the Mount of Carmel and looked down that Jezreel Valley. And they said that some of the best fertile ground and some of the best land to plant produce is right there, amen. And sure enough, we stopped at a place and got a grapefruit about yay big around and dived into that thing. And it was sweeter than any sun-kissed orange that I mean, God has created a lot of things, amen, and put His hand and put His stamp upon the things of the Lord. I tell you, that must be God at His very best, amen. I mean, if you're going to describe God at His best, you just have to look at creation and see the trees and the mountains and the rivers and the valleys and all the animals. Hey, we went to the zoo the other day. My mama called me up. She's blind, you know, just like these ladies here. And I got to push a wheelchair around. She said, "What's that, mama?" I said, "There's a monkey, amen." "Hey, poor, that's a lion, amen." God created all those things. You got to stop right there and say, man, that's got to be God at His best.
I mean, nobody's been able to do what God has done and be able to accomplish what God has done. And listen, I got something else to say. I just want to say this. If He created all that in 7 days, He said, if I go away, I will prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be. If He did all that in 7 days, can you imagine what it's going to be like when we get to the other side? Well, the answer is no, you can't. Because the Bible said, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. Amen. That's got to be God at His best. No, it ain't. Then the Bible said in Genesis 1:27 that God made man in His own image. That's got to be God at His very best. I can't go and explain it any better than Brother Tab did. I didn't understand half what he explained, amen. But I believe it. God made man a triparted being. We are a body, a soul, and a spirit, amen. And God made man in His own image, amen. And God was proud and glad and good at what He had made, amen. Surely that's God at His best. Created you and I for fellowship. Created you and I to love and to cherish and walk. Wouldn't it have been something to be like Adam in that day when God came walking in the cool of the day and fellowship with the Lord? Amen. Not long ago, my sister, a few years back when everybody was tracing down their ancestral trees. You remember that? When they had them fellas on TV called Roots. Y'all remember that, don't you? Y'all wake up. I know it's almost time to eat, and there ain't nobody here more hungry than I am, amen. My sister done some root traveling, amen. And she went back into Wesley background and looked at some old Wesleys way back yonder about the turn of the century and found out that in my ancestral line, my family lineage, that there were some Wesleys hung by the neck in Medill County at the county seat for stealing horses. My family. Can you imagine that? I thought I was a pedigree kid, amen. I thought I had a rich heritage. I thought I was somebody something to find out. I was a bunch of hanging people, amen. A bunch of robbers. I told my sister, I said, don't go back no further. But if you was to go back further, you'd have to go all the way back to the garden where the Bible said sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so death passed. Surely that is God's best when He made man. In His own image He made him. Male and... That's got to be the most greatest, bestest thing. I know that ain't proper English, but I ain't worried about being proper. That's got to be God at His very best when He made man. Nope. You say, well, where did you see God at His best? Well, it had to be in His miracles, wouldn't it? Well, this old book's full of miracles, amen. Miracle after miracle of what God has done and how God has blessed yonder back yonder when Moses was leading the children of Israel. The Bible said he parted that Red Sea and the children of Israel walked across on dry ground. The Bible said, Brother Charlie was preaching the other day. I enjoyed that. I turned it to reservation and he said it turned into jello. It was congealed. I could see them little old kids sticking a hand in there and pulling it back out. And say, Mama, look at this. Amen. But the miracle was they walked across that great Red Sea on dry ground. You think about Jericho. How that they march around that wall for 7 days. On the seventh day, they march around seven times. And the walls fell in. You'd think the miracles of God are that He raised the dead. Lazarus, come forth. Well, if He had to call out Lazarus' name, they'd all got up and got out of there. You think that His miracle of raising the dead and healing the crippled, amen. The Bible said that He, in the name of Jesus Christ, that old fellow there in Acts chapter 3 got up walking and leaping and praising God. The miracles of God. How that He fed the 5,000 with just a few fish and loaves of bread. And then the little boy took home 12 baskets of fragments that remained. You'd think that was God at His best. That God was doing His very best when He performed the miracles. Well, I found something better than that even. He was at His best for sure in creation. Nobody's done what He's been able to do. Nobody can create and make what we see today. Nobody could do what He done for man. Nobody could do the miracles that He's done. Amen. Well, when was He at His best? I declare to you this morning that was it at Calvary? The cross. Surely God was at His very best. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Surely the Bible said God spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. There had to be God at His very best. The Bible said, but God commended His love toward us, in that while we was yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's got to be God. Oh, listen, the Bible talks about that day when Jesus suffered and bled and died. The Bible says when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be upon us and on our children. Then released Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered Him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto Him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped Him and put on Him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put upon His head and a reed in His right hand. And they bowed the knee before Him and mocked Him, saying, Hail! King of the Jews. And they spit upon Him and took the reed and smote Him on His head. And after that they had mocked Him, they took the robe from off Him and put on His raiment upon Him and led Him away to crucify Him. The Bible said when they were come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave, I think of maybe reading God at His best. Why would He love sinners like us? Why would He care about people like us? Why would He even give us a time of day? It's got to be the best. The Bible said peradventure some man would give himself for a good man, but He died for sinners, amen. He died for the worst of the worst. He died for the scum of the earth. He died for the wicked. He died for the wretched. He died for the wayward. He died for you and I. That's got to be God. I'm saying to you, that's got to be God at His best. Oh, I'm glad today to be able to stand, as a preacher said, redeemed by the blood. Washed in the blood. Oh, thank God for forgiveness. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for grace today. Thank God my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's surely God at His best when He died upon Calvary. No, there's something better even than that. Death and hell and grave gathered together. And the devil met them, amen. And he said to death and the grave and hell, do you still have him? Nobody's ever got up. We've still got Abraham. We've still got Isaac and Jacob in the clutch of the grave. Nobody's ever broken the chains of the grave. And the second day the devil said, oh, that's good. That's good. We've defeated him. We're finally bringing him down to size. Amen. And the second day the devil met with the death. I know y'all have heard this, but let me tell it my way. Amen. You preach it whatever you want to, but this is my time, and it's about dinner time, and I'm going to get real good and hungry preaching this thing. And the devil and hell and the grave all gathered the second day, and the devil said, hey boys, do you still have him? And old death and hell and the grave and put their thumb under, and yeah, we still got him. And nobody's ever gotten out of here. And they're still dead. They're still under. They're still behind the sealed door. Oh man. But on that third day, here come death. Here come death. A crippled, amen. Here come the grave walking with a bad limp, amen. And he said, hey, what are you doing limping there? What's going on with you? And he said, well, tell me something. You got a worried look on your face. You got something kind of troubling your heart. He said, have you still got it? And the grave said, well, early this morning. Oh, we never seen it like this. We never had it happen before. It's the first thing we ever had happen to us. I can't explain it to you. But the ground began to shake. And there was an earthquake. And the Bible said an angel came down and said, the grave said, hey, listen, there's something about him. We couldn't hold him down. I'm telling you, when the sun came up, the sun got up and walked out him. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He's with me. Whatever men may say, He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. He talks with me. And shows me. I'm glad that He lives. Oh, you ask me why I'm happy. I'll just tell you why. My sins are gone. Yeah, you know that. Praise God, He lives. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. Hallelujah. He's alive. He's alive. That's got to be God. At his best. No. One of these mornings, Bible says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord. In the air. You said there's God in His best. It's got to be that glorious morning. That golden daybreak. When the eastern sky splits. And He comes back to get His own. He said, if I go away, I will come again. And receive in myself. I say I'm ready for Him to come. I'm looking for Him to come. He's coming ready or not. When we was kids, we used to play hide and seek. You remember that? They'd always get me to count to 100. 1, 2, 3, 4, 62, 65, 70. 89, now here they come, ready or not? And they say, well, you cheated. That's what the world's going to say when we're out of here, amen. He's coming, ready or not. You better get ready. He's coming again. Oh, what a glad day. What an hour. What a beautiful morning. When the Lord comes back, that's got to be God. That's got to be God at His very best. And I shall see Him as He is. I'm glad that He's coming. I'm glad that we have that blessed hope. I'm glad there's something to live for. I'm glad there's something to shout about. That's got to be the day when God's at His very best. No. What could be better than creation? Boy, He's made a beautiful world. Man has polluted it. Made it sinful. Now He's got His sinful tracks and footprint on the moon. Everything in the universe has been polluted by the sin of man. You'd think that the creation of man to fellowship and walk in His image would be the best that God could do. Well, it is. But I'm talking about the very, very best. I'm talking about a book filled with 66 volumes of His very best. You'd think that His miracles would be sufficient to catalog and list and write of His very best. How He raised the dead. How He touched the blinded eyes. I told Mama the other day, on Father's Day, I said, Mama, you might not ever get to see again down here, but the next time your eyes open up, you're going to cast them upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, she got happy. Amen. You think the miracles were the best that God has ever done. You think that His death, oh, what a death. We've been reminded of it today. We're so gospel hardened. We've heard it so much, just like the preacher said, we sit there sitting, soaking and souring. We lost our shout. We've lost our joy. It doesn't touch us anymore. I'm glad He died for me. I'm glad He paid the price. I'm glad He went to Calvary. Oh, you'd think that He rose again the third day. Muhammad's still stone cold dead. Buddha and his big belly still in the grave. Amen. David Koresh is still in the grave. Confucius is confused in the grave. There is only one that ever had the power to say, I lay my life down, but then I'm going to take it again. You think this is bad here? You just wait till Sunday morning when I get up on the third day. I'm coming up, amen. And He did what He said He'd do. That's got to be it. And when He comes back, how could it get any better? And I got one more. When was God at His best? Over on South 7th Street many years ago. Y'all don't get ahead of me, please. Let me preach. Just play dumb for a minute. Just act like you don't know what I'm going to say. Just look sad for a minute. We'll get happy in a second. Amen. Just kind of look like this or what it could be. You know why you're already getting happy? Because there's somewhere in your life when the Holy Ghost of God came and revealed Himself and showed Himself. You're the lost sinner on the road to hell and you got born again. Saved! 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 Go to God! I'm saved! You ask me why I'm happy. I'll just tell you why. My sins are gone. G-O-N-E-G-O. I've been born again. That's God. That's God. That's God. Dear God Almighty, we must be standing on holy ground. The preacher said a while ago, get excited. He said we got something. unshakable, saved, saved. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad you're saved? Glory to God. Saved. I was preaching. Y'all shout while I catch my breath. Boy, it's good to be saved. I didn't deserve it. I deserve to go to hell. Oh, I'm glad I'm saved. Preacher talked about grace. He talked about that circle of mercy. Oh, I've tapped into it a million times. His grace ain't never run out. His mercy endured forever. Saved to the uttermost. I'm saved. I know. The Bible says these things. Have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God that you may know? I'm glad I know it today. I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. I was preaching up in Heavener, Oklahoma one evening. And that was when the girls was little. We were just starting to sing a little bit. I preached on hell that night. Well, I appreciate that message on hell last night. But Charlie's right, there's not much preaching on hell anymore. Oh, I tell you, I was preaching on hell that night. And I gave an invitation. And I looked over here to the right, or the left, your right. And there my daughter sat back there. She walked up that aisle and came around over there, knelt, and prayed. I thought it was just like time before. Just come to the altar. And as she knelt there, I saw her look up at me and go, I knew that look was a heart that was broken. I knew that look was a heart that was troubled. I knew that look was a heart that was needy. I knew that look, the heart that was lost. I walked over there and knelt beside her. And I said, sis, what is it? She said, Daddy, for the first time in my life tonight, I'm going to hell. I'm lost. I said, sis, I led you to the Lord when you was 5. What happened? She said, Daddy, I don't know, but all I know is right now, I'm lost. I need to be saved. You said God was at His best when He said, I know it, but He got gooder. It's been getting gooder. He reached down that night and saved my little girl. We was out on a bus not long after that at Christmas time. Taking little basket, fruit baskets to elderly folk in our town. We'd been to several homes and sang all those Christmas songs, Away in a Manger and all that. We was getting back on the bus and the little one came and yanked on my britches legs. Daddy, I said, what baby? Daddy, I need to be saved. Daddy, I'm going to go to hell. I said, sis, are you sure? At the back of that bus. That old exhaust is coming out that bus. Everybody's inside wondering where's the preacher at. I tell you where he's at. He's back here enjoying one of God's best. Amen. When he saved my... I'm telling you, thank God Almighty, that was God. At His best. I'm done.